J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about tequila.
Tequila.
Tequila is the safe, natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Tequila can help ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world that you're ready and willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of tequila almost immediately. And with a regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. Shyness and awkwardness will be a thing of the past, and you'll discover many talents you never knew you had. Stop hiding and start living with tequila. Tequila may not be right for everyone. Women who are pregnant or nursing should not use tequila. However, women who wouldn't mind nursing or becoming pregnant are encouraged to try it. Side effects may include dizziness, nausea, vomiting, incarceration, erotic lustfulness, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, loss of virginity, delusions of grandeur, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and a desire to sing karaoke and play all night rounds of strip poker, truth or dare, and naked twister. Warning, the consumption of alcohol may make you think you're whispering when you're not, is a major factor in dancing like a retard, may cause you to tell your friends over and over again that you're in love with them, also may cause you to think you can sing. Alcohol may lead you to believe that ex-lovers are really dying for you to telephone them at 4 in the morning. Alcohol may make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. It may create the illusion that you are tougher, smarter, faster, and better looking than most people, and it may lead you to think people are laughing with you. Alcohol may cause pregnancy, and it also may be a major factor in getting your ass kicked. So what are you waiting for? Stop hiding and start living with tequila.
Tequila!
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. 155 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. Then again, we'll see what that statement looks like. Oh, you know, maybe tomorrow night around midnight. We'll see. You are at jcontheline.com. Hi, kids. $16 cheeseburger last night at the Trop. I haven't been in that place since 1989 when they just finished building it and they didn't even have a team yet. And I was shooting a TV special down here. We were talking about this yesterday. So last night, grabbed my daughter and her friend, homemade t-shirts. By the way, do you know you can get really, really good quality blank t-shirts in all sorts of colors, you know, yellow, red, blue, whatever, white, at Michael's. And they're like $5. Some of them are cheaper than that. And I was trying to find something wrong with them. Were they IRs or something? Or, you know, just the stitching is bad? Or no. They're in there 100% cotton. And they're just sitting there. And, right, so you buy one of those for like $5. Then you go over and they have these press-on graphics and alphabet letters and that sort of stuff. All different kinds. You buy a pack of those for, I don't know, $6 or $7. Everybody has an iron. You take it home, follow the directions. You lay out the pattern. In this case, go Cardinals. And I know how unimaginative that is. Think about that. I've talked about this with the term cool. I think the term cool has been around for 50 or 60 years, and it never, ever really seems like it went out of style. Now, people said groovy and far out and all that, but they still said cool. You know, I'm cool with that. Hey, that's cool. That's like three generations now of a word that never really seems to lose its effectiveness. What's so special about the word cool? Well, I'm not going to analyze that now. But the other one is go. We've been cheering on American sports and sports figures for over 100 years, and here we are in 2022. And again, the only thing we can go with is go Cardinals. Go. And you can make the argument, go where and do what? But everybody seems to understand it, so they just keep using it. All right, so anyhow, I've got a $5 t-shirt from Michaels, and then I've got a page of these press-on letters. I'm pretty good with the, you know, arranging them, you know, putting them in a little arc, you know, And then you get out the iron, and you put the little cloth on it, peel off the backing, and look at that. A Cardinal shirt that would probably cost you about $30 minimum. I've made, and I've made a nice one, by the way. Go ahead, check out my Facebook page at the Showgram with J.C. Quirk, and you'll see the shirt that I made for my daughter and her friend. Made the whole thing for like $12, which is great, like I said, because the cheeseburger was $16. And I figured, okay, this is going to be a learning experience. We are going to try a $16 cheeseburger. Now, if you are at a cheeseburger place, you know, a place where they sell, you know, good cheeseburgers, I think most people would say, you know, at some point in their life, they've eaten at McConnell's, and I think McConnell's qualifies as a damn good cheeseburger. Well, now you have to adjust that for the fact that you're at a baseball game and everything costs double. But I was so friggin' hungry last night that I figured, well, I'm going to try this, and either I'm going to have a really good story about how bad I got hoodwinked on a $16 cheeseburger, or I'm going to say, you know what, it was worth every dime. And guess what? It was worth every dime. Man, was it good. And all of the toppings and everything, the lettuce and the tomato, all quality stuff. Good. I don't mind paying $16 for a good cheeseburger or baseball game if it's really, really good. I would qualify this thing. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say gourmet, but it sure was good. Notice I'm talking about the food at the Trop last night because I don't want to talk about the game. You know, Dakota Hudson, a two-hitter over seven innings. Cardinals played pretty good defense. In some cases, in the case of Nolan Arenado, really, really good defense. Good bullpen for the most part. Cards come back, tie the game, jump ahead, buy a run in the extra innings. And up comes this guy hitting .147. And down the right field line, it's only .325. The Rays are down to their last strike. 11,000 people in the ballpark last night, the overwhelming majority of which were Cardinal fans. I shot a video that I'm going to put on my Facebook page when I got off the air here today. We were in the second row of the mezzanine, and there was a crucial, I think it was when Yachty was hitting in the late innings, and the place just came alive. I looked down, and I was like, I feel like I'm at Busch Stadium. That's not an overstatement. And then they did take me out to the ball game, seventh inning stretch, root, root, root for the, and, you know, 9,000 of the 11,000 people just yell, Cardinals. And I was talking to some people from Pittsburgh who were sitting next to us last night. And I was telling them, I said, see, this is why ballplayers come to St. Louis. They get traded to St. Louis and they never leave because they're treated very well by the fans, by the media. The media is so soft in St. Louis. And that's not necessarily a dig because we've got some really good reporters in Rick Hummel and Derek Gould does a great job. Ben Hockman, these are all really, really good writers, but not their fault. The media market in St. Louis is soft on athletes. So the athletes come in and they're like, geez, it's not like New York where if I reach up to pick my nose, I got 20 reporters asking me where I put the booger. And look around, there's people here. You know, some of the games at Busch Stadium have been sellouts over the course of our lifetimes. And players come in and like, Nolan Arenado, I'm sure looking around going, why would I ever leave here? And yet, Albert did, because it wasn't about the money, you know. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I still am surprised by the fact that Albert left and came back and was welcomed. Like, people are like, let bygones be bygones. It's like, wow! But I'm going to tonight's game, too, and this time I'm going by myself, and I'm going to check out the ballpark in detail, because I never even made it out to center field where they have the tank with the Rays out there, and you can reach in and pet them. I'm assuming they have their stingers, those things at the end of the tail. I'm assuming those things are gone. Don't want to end up like Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin knew he was dying, by the way, because he was doing that scuba thing in some exotic location on the other side of the world, and the stingray thing hit him in the heart, and he started bleeding and was gushing. As this was happening, he said to one of the guys who was, I guess, the guy shooting video or whatever, he's like, I'm dying. He knew it. He knew it was going to happen. $16 cheeseburger. All right. I think I'll eat before the game tonight. Now, the city of Tampa is out of its mind hockey. I was not prepared for this when we got our place down here. And as you know, I sort of bounce back and forth between St. Louis and the Tampa area. And I had no idea that this is a hockey town. Now, arguably, you know, in the fall, Tom Brady, especially, his presence really, you know, picked things up as far as the Bucks are concerned. But this still is very, very much a hockey town. It's freaking Florida, and they're nuts about hockey. I don't know. Maybe because it's the only thing cold in the state of Florida. Maybe it reminds people of the things that they did like about back home, most of the people coming from up north. Maybe it's because they win. That sure helps put butts in the seats. But, man, I'm talking, people are just ravenous, crazy. Outside the Amalie Arena where they play hockey, and where the game was last night, there's like a couple of thousand people camped out outside the building who can't get in. But they just want to be as close to the action, as close to the building as possible. And in fact, you know, the ball game last night, I get a couple of times to get something to drink or go take a whiz or whatever. And people are watching the game at the Trop, but they have their cell phones out and they're watching a hockey game. And Pat Maroon, St. Louis homeboy, puts one in for the Lightning the first period last night. That's pretty much all they needed, almost 4-1 last night. Series goes back to New York now, tied at 2. I love the Cardinals. I love the Cardinal organization. They've given me lots of happiness and enjoyment and thrills, but I don't think I'm ever going to really forgive them for not only what they did to Mike Schultz, but how they did it. Joe Maddon out as manager in Anaheim. Now, they said they got a guy replacing him. I don't know if that's temporary or permanent, if it's just one of those interim situations. Well, if Mike Schultz's phone doesn't start ringing pretty soon here, it means there's something really, really wrong in Major League Baseball. That guy should have a job. There's a couple of managers out there who are real schlubs, and Joe Girardi just lost his job. Mike Schultz's assistant coach in, what is it, San Diego, I think? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That stinks. He should be a manager somewhere. Anaheim, by the way, lost 12 straight. That probably had something to do with the fact that Joe Maddon lost his job. Tiger's going to sit out the U.S. Open, says his body just can't take it. This is where we needed Norm McDonald. Too bad Norm's not here anymore. Tiger was there. He dropped out of the U.S. Open. He said he wanted to spend more time with his whores. Norm, man, I miss that guy. All right, let's see what happens tomorrow night. Those of you who were around for Watergate in the early and mid-1970s will remember those hearings and Senator Sam Ervin, John Dean's testimony. And a lot of people looking at this thing tomorrow night going, all right, is this going to be, we were talking about this yesterday, is this going to be a Robert Mueller situation where it's like, wah, wah, or is information going to be unloaded on us tomorrow night that will be the beginning of the end for you know who? Jake Tapper from CNN. Pretty good observations on Colbert the other night.
Well, first of all, I think it's very important that people understand this is not just about January 6th. It's not just about the people who stormed the Capitol. It is about them, especially those who weren't swept up in the moment, but were part of a plan. Mm-hmm. But this is about a months-long strategy for Donald Trump and his supporters to do everything they could because they were so desperate to hold on to power that they were willing to take away legal votes from American voters. That they voted, whether or not in the House of Representatives, there was an effort to disenfranchise the entire Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and disenfranchise Arizona. There were votes on that. Now, maybe you're not from Arizona or Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania, so my mom and dad's vote was in that batch. And I don't like that. I don't like the fact that they wanted to take away my mom and dad's vote because they didn't like how the Commonwealth voted. This is about an effort to subvert democracy. So I just hope that whatever is presented in as compelling a way as possible, that this was not just a group of people that got a little bit rowdy and, did some stupid things. This is about a strategy and a conspiracy.
And regardless of how you feel about CNN, and CNN, trust me, they got problems. But I don't know if you saw this or not, but, you know, the guy who was the executive producer for Colbert just got hired as president of CNN. So he's in there, he's going to start making changes. And one of the first things he said was, we're going to drop this fucking breaking news thing that seems to be on the screen about 90% of the time. So, you know, let's call it breaking news when it is, and when it's not, let's not be putting that banner up. This reminds me, this is maybe about, 15 years ago, where Channel 5 obviously must have done some research, and apparently they do focus groups and stuff, and they must have found out that people were like, yeah, and the TV stations are always putting up, you know, we're talking about local TV now, they're always putting up a thing that says breaking news. So Channel 5, they're like, okay, let's go back to the drawing board here. And they came back with an entire campaign, you may recall, where they said, we'll never call something breaking news when it's not, which would have been a good strategy, except all they did was come up with a banner that said developing story, and instead of calling it breaking news, they just called it a developing story. So they didn't really change anything. They just changed what they call it. Yeah, but like I was saying, you know, CNN's got lots of problems. I used to love CNN back around, you know, 1980, 81, 82, right in there. You'd turn on CNN, and you'd realize, man, I've had it on almost all weekend because they're doing stories. They're doing news. It's not just the same stuff all over. Again, a bunch of opinion. It was just doing news. That's why I like this News Nation thing that you have to sort of punch around and look for. But CNN really lost their way in recent years and lost, you know, like 80% of their audience. So I got a new guy in there trying to run things. But regardless of any of that, Jake Tapper, to me, appears to be the real deal. I think this guy is a very, very effective journalist, good anchorman, good stories. And you know, he can go on a place like Colbert and just sort of talk about things in a more relaxed manner and, again, be very, very effective in his storytelling. And that, by the way, was on display, his ability to tell stories effectively. That was on display a little bit later on in the conversation about another topic.
And I think about it a lot when it comes to this, when it comes to gun violence, because it is so sanitized, the versions of the stories that we show people.
As horrified as we are, we're not actually seeing it.
We're not seeing anything. Think about how shocking it is in a local crime report when you see like a little bit of blood on the sidewalk.
Yes.
It's stunning. You never see that. Well, who are we protecting? I'm not calling for media to show anything that people that family members don't want out there or whatever. But, you know, I asked my team, like, after the Uvalde shooting, and again, I understand why people are horrified. It's awful. But, I mean, are there images of ambulances? Are there images of body bags? Like, what is available? Because we're not doing the public a service by just describing what happened, and then all you see is a bunch of cops standing outside a building. And it's just ultimately so horrific. And I've said this a million times on my show. The adults of the United States are failing the children of the United States.
Pretty effective stuff. And if you haven't seen, I'm not going to play it for you right now, but if you haven't seen Matthew McConaughey, especially the long version of him at the podium in the White House press room yesterday, you should watch that too. It's sort of long, but, you know, and I think this is what I said. I'm agreeing with Jake Tapper here. This is what I said, because after Buffalo, we learned that the shooter had live streamed the whole thing, but that wherever he live streamed it had taken the video down. Well, lo and behold, you know, one of the websites, I don't want to say which one it was, but I punch around on these sort of obscure websites looking for stories for the show, because you got a lot of weird stuff, and most of it's just more funny than anything else. But in this case, I'm just punching around. I had no idea that this was there. I was just looking for anything that, you know, I can find to use on the show, and there it was. There it was, the actual video of the live stream of the guy with the supermarket shootings in Buffalo a month ago. And I immediately stopped it, and I thought to myself, do I want to see this? Do I want to watch this? And for whatever reason, and I don't know what that reason is, but for whatever reason, I watched it, and I watched it again. And after I watched it the third time, I thought to myself, well, I agree with Jake Tapper. I think everybody ought to see it. Because on one hand, yes, it's gory, it's sensational, and it's just absolutely horrific. And to be honest with you, it almost looks like a video game. There's one woman in the parking lot shot point blank. She was the first one to go, and then he starts spraying bullets. And the security guard is sitting out there, and they always say, you know, good, you got to have a good guy with a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun. Well, the good guy with the gun was mowed down almost immediately. So much for that idea. Which, by the way, brings me to the issue, and I hate getting into this stuff because people just get mad at me. But I mentioned the other day that when I get into these arguments, and there's no point in it. There's just no point in it. In fact, where's this story I was going to do for you today? Yeah, here it is. Elon Musk is trying to verify this, but according to researchers, up to 15% of active Twitter accounts are social bots. That's 48 million accounts. And that doesn't include trolls, which are fake instigating accounts controlled by humans, you know, like in the Philippines and stuff like that. But that's a lot. 48 million of anything can probably do some damage in the wrong hands. But as I said, when I do engage for whatever reason, I always say the same thing. If you have a traffic problem in your community, the solution is not to add more cars. Well, what happens? A guy sends me a response on my comments page going, well, traffic problems are actually caused by poor city management and municipal issues. It's like, way to miss the entire point. Way to miss the point. I just get really mad when people respond to me like I'm stupid. And some of them are so full of themselves, so self-righteous about everything. And they don't like it when you bring up that militia part of the Second Amendment. Because it's like, right to bear arms, you know, for a militia. It's all part of the same sentence. You can't just stop reading a sentence in the middle of it because you don't like what the second half of the sentence says, and because it hurts your argument. If you go to a doctor and the doctor says, okay, here's what you have to do right now. Right now, you have to take this cactus and shove it up your ass, unless you don't want to. That second part of that sentence is sort of important, isn't it? You can't just stop reading mid-sentence because you don't like the second half. I'm getting nowhere with this. Why do I bother? We lost half of Seals and Crofts yesterday. They had a pretty good run there for a while, I guess mostly in the 1970s. One of the reasons I'm bringing it up is because I've never really been the kind of guy who stands there staring at architecture. I know some people do, and it's a great hobby and everything like that. And, you know, I've seen books where some of the greatest looking buildings ever are there, and I admire them, you know. But it doesn't really register with me that much. Except in one case, because when I think about this, I can't think of another building that when I'm near it, I stop, get out of the car, take pictures every time. And that building is the Baha'i Temple in Evanston, Illinois, just north of Chicago. It's about two blocks off of Lake Michigan, and it is this stunning, breathtaking structure. And if it looks good during the day, you ought to see it at night when it's all lit up. It's like the Scientology headquarters in Clearwater, Florida. I don't like one goddamn thing that's going on in there. But, again, especially at night, you can't even believe how beautiful this thing is. All that Tom Cruise money trying to impress you. But this structure in the Chicago suburbs, if you're ever anywhere near that, or you're going to a baseball game or something like that, you've got a night game, you got the entire day, okay, yeah, go see the Bean in the Loop. Go do the Magnificent Mile. Go have yourself a Portillo's Italian beef sandwich. Go all do that. But if you have a car, just buzz a half an hour up the coast of Lake Michigan to Evanston and bring a camera. And you can go in, by the way. You can go in. Now, it's a place of worship, so there's a lot of things you can't do inside. Can't talk and stuff like that. And I don't know that much about the Baha'i faith, other than it is one of those sort of cool religions. Some people would even probably consider it a New Age religion. But it's one of those things where it's, you know, live and let live and love your neighbor and just don't walk around being an asshole to people, okay? That's pretty much it. And Seals and Crofts were both members of the Baha'i faith. This is something I rarely do, is talk about religion, but I'm really, in this case, talking more about a religious building than anything else. We are kicking off JC's Roots of Rock Sunday show this Sunday morning at 9 o'clock on K-Wolf. We still don't have our St. Louis signal up yet. That's still a couple of days away. We'll let you know. But if you're in the Westplex, you can hear it. And You can listen to it online at KWUL, which is the FCC legal call letters for K-Wolf, K-W-U-L. You just go to Google and put in K-W-U-L, as in Wolf. And I know that's W-O-L-F, but I wasn't in charge of this. I was not consulted, okay? So the live stream comes up there, and you can listen to the entire show. And we'll dedicate part of our first J.C. Roots of Rock Sunday show brought to you by Weber Chevrolet with a little musical tribute to Jim Seals and Dash Croft. I talked about this a little bit on Facebook yesterday, the fact that every once in a while you do an interview with somebody in this job, and an answer they give you just stuns you. Bill Cosby, I was talking about. Bill, you've been on the road for decades, away from your family, staying in hotels, people just running around trying to glom onto you, women throwing themselves at you, and yet Bill Cosby, and this was like, I don't know, maybe 95, 96, something like that, when he was in town performing at the VP Fair in front of like 120,000 people, biggest crowd he ever performed in front of. And I said, you know, all of this stuff. And yet, Bill, we've never read anything about you being involved in some sort of scandal or sex scandal or something like that. Well, you know, how can that be? And he just paused for a moment. He says, well, that's just because the media hasn't found out about it yet. And at the time, I laughed it off. But you can imagine how I went digging through my archives to find that soundbite after, you know what happened. So I always remember that answer. It was on this date, 1989, I was interviewing Frank Zappa. And Frank was, I got to know him a little bit there for about 2 years. He was involved in that Music in Action thing. It was the record industry pretty much in the middle and late 1980s, battling against Tipper Gore and some other congressional wives who were running around shopping malls and trying to stick warning labels on albums that they found had objectionable material. And Frank was like, go fuck yourselves. And it was also right about the it was also right about the time that the Ayatollah had decided to ban all music in Iraq. Or was it Iran? What's the difference after all? Anyhow, I said to him, if the Ayatollah was a musician, what instrument do you think he'd play? Not having any idea, he just threw it out there. And Frank, without batting an eye, goes, some sort of flute. I started laughing and he started laughing. But all that happening on this date back in 1989. And the reason, one of the other things that made me think about it is somebody posted the dance video from Pulp Fiction the other day, and I reposted that and added to that story about Bill Cosby and Frank Zappa the idea that I was interviewing Quentin Tarantino for a movie called From Dusk Till Dawn with George Clooney and Salma Hayek. A bunch of Juliette Lewis was in it. But while we were doing the interview for that, I had to try to slide in a question or two about Pulp Fiction. And I said to him, people really, really have not stopped talking about the dance scene between Uma Thurman and John Travolta and the fact that they went into that restaurant, bar, whatever it was, dance club that had entertainment icon impersonators. Ed Sullivan impersonator, Marilyn Monroe. And I said to him, hey, Quentin Tarantino, is there a place anywhere here in Southern California where you can go in, get a burger and a milkshake, and they have celebrity impersonators as the hostess and the servers and stuff like that? And I hope you're sitting down, because this was the answer he gave me. Again, Quentin, do you know of a place that actually exists in Southern California where you go in for a cheeseburger and a milkshake and the server and the hostesses and the maitre d' and all are all celebrity impersonators? And he says, well, first of all, Vince Vega was pretty messed up that night, so he may have just thought that. Wow. Quentin, by the way, launching a podcast pretty soon. Everybody will have one. All right, Netflix today, Adam Sandler in something called Hustle. He plays a basketball scout who risks his career to get a player from Spain ready for the NBA draft without his team's permission. Late night tonight, Jeff Goldblum and Saturday Night Live's Bowen Yang. The president of these here United States, I'm with Kimmel tonight. Colbert's got Congressman Adam Schiff. Ewan McGregor and Annette Bening, I'm with James Corden. DeSus Mero on with Seth Meyers. And Trevor Noah has Iman Vellani, who plays Ms. Marvel. Matthew McConaughey, as we said, what a speech yesterday in the White House press room. Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle doing a joint stand-up show in London. Kristen Wiig teaming up with Carol Burnett to star in an Apple TV show. Well, it's Apple TV Plus, called Mrs. American Pie. George Clooney and HBO doing a documentary about the decades-long sexual abuse scandal at Ohio State University. Birthdays today. Women sit around. I just don't know what men want. I don't know what they want. Maria Menounos, 44 today. That is what men want. Kanye, 45 today. Gabrielle Giffords, the Arizona congresswoman who survived that gunshot to the head, 52. Juliana Margulies from The Good Wife in the ER, 56. Duran Duran keyboardist Nick Rhodes is 60. Keenan Ivory Wayans, 64. Bonnie Tyler, as in Total Eclipse of the Heart, 71. Boz Scaggs opened for Steely Dan a couple of years at the Fox Theater, and just, you know, he blew the crowd away, but then the crowd blew him away, and he was just standing there watching these standing ovations and this incredible reaction to his music, and he just had this look on his face like, holy shit, I didn't even know people still knew who I was. Chuck Negron from Three Dog Night is 80 today. Nancy Sinatra, 82. And Burger King has unveiled a gay Whopper for LGBTQ month. And if you're going to have a gay Whopper, you got to have a gay beer to wash it down.
Two businessmen from Switzerland have created a beer specifically for the homosexual community.
Ah, really?
Have you heard that?
Oh, yeah.
The beer is called Queer Beer.
Queer Beer.
And it's marketed by their company called Lemonhead.
That's the
Lemonhead
company.
Yeah. So now we have a beer for homosexuals being brewed in somewhere in Switzerland. So what were the top 10 list tonight is top 10 slogans for the new gay beer.
I see.
Because
that's it.
It's not enough that it's gay beer. You have to have a catchy
slogan. Yeah. I wonder how gay beer would differ from heterosexual beer.
I have no idea.
Okay.
All right, now.
The band has a few suggestions.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't repeat
I probably
that.
Better not know.
No.
Top 10 slogans for the new gay beer. Here we go. Number 10, for guys who don't like Bush. Number 9.
Such a reception for the 10th item in the top 10 list.
Yes. All right. Number 9. Cold as a mountain stream, gay as a picnic basket. Number 8. Number 8. For all the gay stuff you do, this beer is for you. Number 7. Made with the finest gay hops and barley. Number 6. Toss one back, and while you're at it, have a beer.
Again. One back. I have an idea.
No.
I don't want to think about it.
Number 5, the perfect drink for spending the afternoon watching Trading Spaces with the guys. Number 4, come out of the closet and head for the mountains. Number 3, wreck your liver and your marriage. Number 2, drink until you can see straight. And the number 1 slogan for the new gay beer, the Queen of Beers. There you go.
And with that, that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. 155 days remaining in our American democratic system of government as we have known it. We post every weekday morning right about this time, absolutely free. If you miss a podcast, don't worry. Everything's archived right here. Anytime you want to ask a question, make a comment, email jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. We'll let you know as we progress towards the debut of our new radio station in St. Louis. And as I said, for right now, you can still listen to some of what will be altered and then simulcast in St. Louis in, I don't know, I'm hearing now it might be sometime next week. But if you're in the West Plains, you can listen right now, or you can get online, KWUL. And again, Sunday is the debut of our oldie show, JC's Roots of Rock Sunday Show. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.